All eyes are still focused on the Gulf of Mexico.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. BP says it may very well have stopped the giant oil spill in the Gulf from getting any bigger. The company says it's managed to attach a long tube, and that's siphoning some of the oil to a ship. However, a large area of crude is still floating around the Gulf, with one report saying it could enter a current that would shoot it toward the Florida Keys and then up the East Coast. That's a big concern for everyone. The Washington Post reports, or the BP, I should say, is also concerned about lawsuits. And Marketplace's Elisa Roth is with us live in the New York studio with the latest. Good morning, Elisa.
Good morning.
Now, this has been going on for 3 weeks since that explosion. Are the lawsuits flying yet?
Oh, yes. So far, at least 88 lawsuits have already been filed. Among them, there's a widow of an oil worker who went missing in the first blast. There's also been one filed on behalf of Louisiana fishermen, an environmental group, and a couple of big hotels.
And, Elisa, how much money are we talking about? Are all these lawsuits directed at BP?
No. Clearly, BP is a big target. Among other things, it's one of the biggest companies in the world, so there's plenty of cash there. But Halliburton is potentially liable. So is the offshore drilling company, the company that made the blowout protector. Even the federal government could get hit with some of these.
And the money we're talking about here?
Really too early to know yet. Legally, BP is capped at $75 million unless the court finds it guilty of gross negligence, willful misconduct, or failure to comply with federal safety standards. And over the weekend, the federal government told BP to expect to pay money without the cap. So we'll have to see what happens.
All right. Marketplace's Elisa Roth reporting from our New York studio. Elisa, thanks.
You're welcome.
We got word today from GM. Its first quarter profit came out today, said it's making progress toward a turnaround, expected to put it on track toward its first full year profit since 2004. Net income for the big automaker is up to $865 million compared with a loss of $6 billion 1 year before. Let's do the numbers. Markets in Europe are higher by about 1% right now, 0.5% to 1%, but Asian shares tanked today on investor concerns that the Europe debt crisis will worsen. Wall Street last week, stocks had some gains for the week. The NASDAQ added 3.5%. The Dow added about 2% for the week. Well, we talked about how weak the euro has gotten. It's been hovering near a four-year low. 1 euro is equal to about $1.23. And we're wondering if that's got people storming off to Europe for a bargain vacation. Tom Myers is the editor-in-chief with Eurocheapo.com, a budget travel website. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
So, well, the euro is cheapo today. How's business for you?
Business is okay. We're definitely seeing a spike in traffic with Americans.
And how hard is it to get the euro here in the States? Say I wanted to travel to the continent and I wanted to pick up a few euros. How would I do that?
Well, you could certainly go to your bank and get those ahead of time, but I wouldn't recommend that. I'd say get a few before you head over, but once you get to Europe, head for the ATM at the airport.
How do you account for what's happened? Have you seen this type of decline before?
Well, we haven't seen this decline, but we certainly saw the euro gain on the dollar after its introduction in 2002. So it's sort of nice to see this reversal for us, for Americans.
And people were calling it, the almost a replacement of the dollar, right?
Right. And now what is it, $1.24?
Yeah. And do you see this drop continuing?
Well, again, from the selfish American perspective, perhaps, yes, it would be nice to see it go down a little further.
All right. Tom Myers from Eurocheap.com. Tom, thanks.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk, committed to changing diabetes through treatments, partnerships, and education. Defeating diabetes is our passion and our business. By Citrix, offering GoToMeeting, allowing people to present, demonstrate, and train online. More at GoToMeeting.com/market. And by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 436 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Those investing in treasury bonds are hoping for some long-term returns, but that investment's not a sure thing, and you could lose some money. Fortune magazine's Alan Sloan told me to bring $1,000 to the table, $1,000 play dollars, so he can explain how the bond market could really hurt my investment. He's with us now. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Steve.
So, all right, my 1,000 is in. In simple terms, why should I be concerned about keeping money in the bond market?
In 5 words, interest rates could go up.
That's pretty simple, all right? So let's do the math. If I have 30-year bonds that are expected to generate interest, how on earth can that be a bad deal?
Well, let's say that you have a 30-year treasury bond, and the interest rate on that is now 4.5%, which in fact it is.
Okay.
You're making $45 a year. A year from now, for whatever reason, let's say interest rates on that bond are 5.5%.
Mm-hmm.
You're making $55 a year of interest on your money,
okay.
Right?
Right.
You can figure that out. No one is going to pay you the face value of your bond because it's paying $10 a year less interest than you could otherwise get. So, in fact, it would sell for roughly 85 cents on the dollar. If you decided, well, you know, I'm Chiatakis, I'm in here for the long run,
mm-hmm.
you would get $10 a year less for 29 years than you could get if you had a higher income bond and you take your loss that way. You know, it's like the old thing, pay me one way or pay me the other way.
And assume, Alan, if interest rates drop, if they go down, I mean, does that mean there's an opportunity for me to make more money?
Oh, absolutely. If interest rates are 3.5% in a year, which they won't be, but if they are, your bond would be worth 118 cents on the dollar because you'd be making $10 a year more for 29 years than other bonds would make. But I would not bet on that.
So then, Alan, what have we learned today about investing in bonds?
That investing in bonds can actually be exciting when you don't want it to be, because changing interest rates can either kill you or help you, depending on which way the world moves.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan is with us this morning. Alan, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Steve.
Hey, share your thoughts with us at our website, marketplace.org. Plus, I'm tweeting Chiatakis MMR. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.